Seat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now. Seat Breakfast with Niall and Show.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday.
It's April 16th. It's Niall and Show and Killian with you for a new day. Hope you're well.
Do you know what struck me there when Aoife was reading the news and she was talking about the bras should be exempt from VAT? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Which I think is a very valid point. Mm. And good news. Hopefully it comes through. But I have never been fitted.
Oh, well, officially. You're probably wearing the wrong one then. Say something like 60% of girls are wearing the wrong size bra.
Yeah, it just struck me. I've never
gone in.
Do
you
want me to measure
you?
No, I do not want to. I think that is a
HR issue.
Definitely a HR issue.
Definitely. More than a handful, that's what I'd say.
Oh, God. No, you didn't. Anyway, I haven't been fitted and I might rectify that, but I will not involve you in it. All right?
Okay. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Welcome along. It is Tuesday and it is the crew with you till 10 o'clock this morning and sure, whatever. Whatever happens between now and then.
Ah, sure, Lucas. Strap yourself in.
We've got another round to beat the bomb. We've got a dilemma to tackle and we've got a lot of crack to be had. So don't go anywhere.
Strap yourself in.
Okay, calorie maths this morning. We're helping you out here.
Calorie math, I can now reveal calorie math is a VPS. So early on a Thursday morning, it's 7:15. We've got a very popular segment. Right, where are we going first?
Let's go to Kelly first. Okay. Morning, how are you today?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
We're good.
And we love yours. When calories don't count, calorie math, what have we got?
So I usually wake up in the middle of the night to go down and get a glass of water and sometimes just bars or crisps or something just fall into my mouth, but I'm asleep.
Yeah, so exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't count. You're half asleep.
It's not a big conscious effort. I'm going to go to the press and I'm going to eat some food. It just happens as you're walking past in a kind of sleepwalking way.
Falls into the mouth.
I reckon, it just happens. Like, listen, lads, I don't know where half of the bars go. I tell my partner in the morning. I don't know what happened.
Bloody mice.
Same as me. And the other thing is, Kelly, I suppose you're in your pyjamas, you're bare feet, like nothing can count when you're dressed like that. Do you know what I mean?
You're dead right.
You think you've just done another good one there? The calories don't count if you're in your pyjamas.
Pyjamas. Kelly, that's brilliant. Travel mug is yours this morning, my dear. Have a great day, all right?
Cheers.
Bye,
honey. Later. Right, couple of other thoughts on this now. Michael, I don't know about Michael's. I absolutely agree with him on this.
Okay.
Just have a listen.
So, lads, when you're dying in bed sick, the calories don't count when you're having flat 7-Up and a few slices of toast. They don't count then, I'll tell you that for one thing, because you're dying.
I can't argue with them.
No, I mean, they don't count. You're dying.
Toast wouldn't have much calories anyway, would it?
You'd
be surprised by the white bread.
Yeah.
A couple of other ones coming in then. Right, firstly, Sabrina was on to us. The few broken cream crackers at the start don't count, or when you're standing at the press having a biscuit before your actual biscuit.
Yeah, you see, I think that's the important part there. You're not sitting down on the couch or at a table, so therefore it doesn't exist.
You're not dining.
No, you're not.
So therefore the calories don't count.
No, you're in a different moment. It doesn't exist.
So if you're standing and you have a biscuit before you have your actual biscuit, not counted.
No, not really.
A few people talking about holidays. I totally agree. If you're on holidays, calories don't count. And Trish says to us, when you're on holiday at the all-inclusive buffet, doesn't count, even if you come home 2 stone heavier. Sure, that's just water retention from travelling.
I've been there, Trish. I've had that water retention. I know exactly what you're talking about. I love an all-inclusive buffet. Doesn't count, though.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely doing it in June.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
One story all over the papers this morning. All over the papers. Front page of the Irish Independent. Grand National winner gets hero's welcome home. The Daily Mail says, all hail Maximus.
I had to put my disappointment aside that I lost the broadcast centre sweep over the weekend because I was a late entry, Killian.
So was I. I caved.
Anyway, Grand National hero, I am Maximus, enjoyed a triumphant homecoming coming in his trainer Willie Mullins' backyard last night. Keeping it real, the Aintree winner tread a familiar path when parading through the village of Loughlin Bridge in County Carlow, as so many of the trainer's winners have done before. Most recently, bear with me now, Galopin des Champs.
Well, good.
Yeah. Jockey
Paul Townsend joined the parade, which began in the Lord Bagnall Inn. Ah, we love it. Now,
I know where you're going. I know exactly where you're going.
Will
with
I
this.
Say it?
Yeah, I know you want to.
I had a beautiful, beautiful meal there. No. I'd love to come back and I'd love half rice and half chips. Yeah. There I said it. There I said
it. They did it for me like 2 weeks ago.
They wouldn't do it for show. Yeah. They turned her down.
I'm a regular.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Anyway, watched by hundreds of people. I would say, was there thousands there? It looked to me like it was thousands.
You can have a look at the video on the Beat Facebook and the Beat Insta page.
Turned up just up the road from Mullins' Clouston Yard, is that
Close
right? Clouston. Mullins said, it's been an incredible season and Saturday was very, very special for them.
Well, I think just cloud nine, I think, is the way, you know, it just, you start to, the minute the horse passes the winning post, you just go into a different zone, and I've been enjoying it and hopefully enjoy it for the whole year until next year's National.
This was a beautiful moment, and you can check it out on our Instagram and Facebook page this morning, because you know, but it is lovely
it's
to see that, like, Carlo, you know, the homecoming, it's like we don't see this all the time. You know, so it was special.
Yeah, we also heard from some of the people who were there last night.
Which is an amazing, amazing achievement. Great to have a local winner like that.
Come tomorrow in Loughlin Bridge, it'll be back to normal. Mm. But now we're all excited meeting one another here. We hope Willie now will go on and win the championship.
Proud is not the word. I suppose we take it a bit for granted being so close or whatever. But it's only when we're in different company and people talk about Willie and we realise we're in the presence of greatness.
Yeah, surely, like, you should be allowed a day off or something. Like, there should be kind of some.
Yeah,
you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
We got a quote from Maximus as well.
Okay,
the horse,
go for it.
There he is.
As expected.
Yeah. Now, I have some questions.
Okay.
I have some questions because I heard Aoife mention this on the news at 7 o'clock and she was talking about how Willie and I Am Maximus, the horse, paraded around town and they did a meet and greet, right? The horse did a meet and greet in Loughlin Bridge yesterday evening. Mm. And I know we have a lot of people here who work closely with horses, listen to us each morning, you're in the yard, you're cleaning out right now. Does the horse know that he's the main man? That's what I want to know. Does he know all these people are here from me? Do you think he knows that? Or has he just, he's got off his little trailer and he just wants to go into his stable, put his dressing gown on and order a Chinese? Because that's what I want to do when I come home after a few days away.
But it depends on your personality. Like, I Am Maximus, like, the name itself lends itself to, you know, the idea that he is, you know, he should have his moment of glory, basically. I'm pretty sure that he would have known.
You think he knows that he's a winner?
Yeah.
I'm the main man.
Yeah, the main man in town in Loughlin Bridge. I'm coming to get you. I would think he did, and I would be happy to do a meeting. Like, I would like to meet him.
What would you say to Maximus?
Well, I mean, I would say, I wish I had gotten you in the sweep. I would start with that, and I would say, great job. And how are you feeling after your win? And
well, Paul says Willie's also going for the Scottish National on Saturday, so we'll wish him well in that. But yeah, if you work with horses, answer that question to me. Does the horse know that he's a winner, do you think? Or is he just happy to be back in his stable chilling out after working hard for a few days over there?
It's a really good question.
Yeah, I think so. Right. In the meantime, just asking, does the horse, I Am Maximus, does he know that he's the main man in Loughlin Bridge right now? Does he know that hundreds, if not thousands, line the streets for him? That's what I want to know. We've got one answer so far. Larry was on to us. This is a good answer, actually, to be fair. I hadn't even thought of this. He says, I'm sure he will know when he gets to cover better mares, if you know what I mean. And he has a couple of emojis there. You know what I mean? Now that he's a winner, he gets a higher class of mare to hang out in the stable with, you could say.
I understand.
A top filly like yourself, show.
Oh my God. Please stop.
10 to 8, right. We just mentioned this a few minutes ago. We were talking about it on the cast. The heroes welcome home last night for Aintree Grand National winner I Am Maximus, who was greeted by hundreds of well-wishers as trainer Willie Mullins brought him. They did their own meet and greet, the two of them, around Loughlin Bridge in Carlow. And I was asking, does I Am Maximus know that he's the main man when all these people turn out for him?
Yeah, so what we always do on Beat Breakfast is when we need more information, we go to a correspondent, right? And this correspondent even has a horse in her WhatsApp profile picture.
Yeah, so we know it's the real deal. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Good.
We're good. And
now,
we're good.
My first question before we get to the little education of our show is about, we know horses are so intelligent. How much awareness would this horse, I am Maximus, have that he's the main man in town right now?
They have a huge amount of awareness. I mean, they thrive like we do. You know, they have the same kind of endorphins that, you know, any champion would at the end of the day. You know, they're a sporting athlete. So, I mean, they know the crowds, they love it, they thrive on it. It's amazing. A horse has an amazing brain.
I do often wonder that, you know, immediately after the race when they're absolutely bet and they have to do the victory parade at the big races, I'm kind of like going, do they appreciate what's going on, that people are making a fuss over them?
Well, I think us horsey people assume that they do. So, yeah, I'm going to say 100% they do, without a doubt. Absolutely. Like, who wouldn't want the whole world cheering and clapping at them?
Yeah, and like they are very, very smart, aren't they?
Really smart.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to Larry's message. And this is the bit where I need a little bit of help and understanding, I suppose. So what was your take on what Larry said?
Okay, well, Larry was like, or wouldn't he be the man if he was able to serve a number of fillies? Hmm. Well, it would be great if Iron Maximus could, but unfortunately, he's a gelding.
Right.
which means that he's not an entire horse.
He's got bits missing, show. Important
he has
bits.
A few little bits missing.
Poor fella, you wouldn't know by looking at him, would you?
No. No, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, some of them still think they are the main man. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't think there'll be any Iron Maximus babies.
Oh, that is
interesting
sad.
To find out.
Which is a pity. However, the stallion that he is by, authorised, stands at a stud here in Kilkenny, just outside Bennett's Bridge, and is owned by Joe O'Neill.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the stallion is authorised, and the lads recently got him back from Turkey, and he's there to serve other mares. Yeah, so he is there to serve mares for the stud season.
Okay, so if you're looking for a stallion, Bennett's Bridge is the place to go, show.
I've just made some notes here, Sarah, and I'll be back to you with anything else that I need. But thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for chatting.
I woke up this morning. Beat breakfast on Beat 102, 103.
A downbeat attitude. There's good reason for this. And show, she broke some news to her colleagues last night. And I think it's time you told the South East this morning.
I've tried my best to put my feelings aside this morning and to put on as best a show as I could. But yeah, there's no getting away from it. It was unexpected. And last night I said goodbye for the final time to my beloved Brittany, aka the Polo.
The Volkswagen Polo, the white Polo that has served you so well over so many years. Only recently properly named, to be fair. And we knew, we knew here in studio the last week or two that she wasn't well.
No.
Hence the Dacia. We knew she wasn't well. But in the end, it was all quite sudden.
It was. It came out of nowhere. I got a call last night and an offer that was too good to refuse.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the universe had been kind of conspiring against me and telling me to, you know, do the right thing and to let her go once and for all. Two failed NCT attempts, a flat tyre, need I say anymore. So yeah. I'd like to issue an official statement this morning.
Okay, we have a couple of statements on this that have been issued and published to the media this morning. So we'll start with Shona's own statement.
Okay.
Hello.
Brittany Lyons, January 2015 to April 2024. Brittany, who was ironically only named a month ago by the lovely people at the Trough in Wexford after I released a question box on Instagram, came into my life in January 2015, 2 weeks after my beautiful baby Eve arrived. So too did the stunning Polo. She was white, compact, perfect for parking, and had a powerful engine that surprised many who met her over the years. She became a friend, a travel companion, and she endured hundreds of hours of Celine Dion, Westlife, and Shaggy, to which she never complained about. Brittany travelled all over the country, but she was best known for her daily trips over the Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy Bridge, many a journey on the Passage East Ferry, good morning lads, cruising on Wexford Quay, trips to Carricklow. But of course, she'll be most synonymous with her daily naps in the gorgeous village of Balnaboola. She brought so much joy to all who crossed her path.
Yeah.
She will be remembered for being small but mighty. I would like to take this opportunity this morning to thank Brittany for 9.5 years of unconditional love. And I will finish with this motivational quote. Don't forget, somewhere between hello and goodbye, there was love.
Where'd you find that?
So much love. R.I.P. Britney.
Okay, give me a moment to compose myself. It was also felt that because I spent so much time over the last few years with Brittany every morning, that I should prepare a statement for the media as well. So yep. Mine is quite brief, to be honest with you. It says, I'm saddened to hear of the sudden passing of Brittany Lyons, 2015 to 2024. Brittany was a strong young woman with incredible stamina who crossed county boundaries twice a day and was tested with some of the most appalling playlists in the world. Yet, despite a constant loud diet of Celine and Mariah, Brittany delivered her user to the destination every single time. Whilst I always had a fractious relationship with Brittany herself, there was a mutual respect there. I particularly respected the smooth Yui she pulled outside my house every morning. I think much of the friction between me and Brittany was the result of the user owner's oversized handbag. Quote, flawed but beautiful were the touching words of her owner and friend Shona last night. Manny would say the same of Sho herself. My thoughts are with her and her family today, or yeshtay gorevanon. And that is our tribute to Brittany, the white polo this morning on Beat Breakfast. She deserved it. She absolutely deserved it.
Thank you so much. I don't know, right? There's a bit of me that wants to cry. Yeah, look, it was a moment, and I suppose I wanted to know if anybody has been through the same. Saying goodbye to a car that
you loved so much.
And on a very kind of, I suppose, serious note, it was the car that I got when I had Eve.
Yeah, so life had changed.
She went out to say goodbye to it last night. She was quite emotional. Like, she was like, is that it? Like, is that the end? So it just, there's so many memories.
I know we've talked on the show before about first cars and naming cars, and I know that people can be so passionate about that one particular car you had that you just loved. Tell us about saying goodbye. Did you just wave it off on your front drive? Did you go down to the garage when it was a write off and go, I loved you and you were good for me, you know?
Yeah.
Now let's start with Charlotte, because it's a lovely story. Charlotte, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thanks. Tell us.
Talk to us. This is your dad's car. It was a Jeep, and it was really special to you guys.
Yeah, but so my dad, I was young having my kids, and my dad was the one who brought me home from the hospital in his car.
Oh.
And so he brought us home with, he brought me and my oldest two home, and he's eventually sold the car, and he managed to get in contact with who he sold the car to, and got the car back just so he could bring me and my youngest home from the hospital after I had my youngest.
So
and
he
then
had
a few weeks later.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say, he sold the car after he'd had two, but then all of a sudden a third one was on the way, and there was no way that a baby was going home, not in that Jeep. So he went and borrowed the car he sold.
Yeah, he went and borrowed the car he sold so that they could, all my kids could come home in the same car.
No, not cute. Able for that. It was like, it was his, your good luck charm, I suppose. Oh, and what happened after?
Absolutely.
Well, there's a sad twist.
Well, a mixture of it was, my youngest was actually born 10 weeks early.
Okay.
Oh.
And a few weeks, about 3 weeks after he borrowed the car to bring him home, the car actually died.
Oh, God.
So the car was a write-off.
Okay. Right. Well, it did the job.
It did the job.
Yep.
It did.
It absolutely did.
Such a lovely story, Charlotte. Thanks a million for sharing.
Have a
great Wednesday, hon.
Donna, good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Donna.
How's it going?
Now, I know that you can really feel for Sho this morning, that you know this pain.
I can so relate. Okay, so I had a white Fiat Punto, and I had it for about 8 years, and I loved, I loved this car.
Before you tell us all the things that was wrong with it, what did you love about it? What made it special? Was it memories?
It was just so comfortable to drive. It was just one of those cars that was just really lovely to drive.
And it would have been like my Polo, like you could get it in anywhere, Donna, anywhere.
It was kind of like, and it was like a sporting Punto. It wasn't like a boring Punto. It was a lovely little white. Yeah. And it was white. I've always had good luck with white cars. Yeah. So it was a lovely white little sporting Punto.
Yeah, now it wasn't so all just, good luck, Donna. Talk to me about the passenger door.
Okay, so myself and my other half, we were on the way down to Cork one day, and we brought my car because my other half had a van at the time, but we were going down to collect his mum down in Cork. So I said, right, we'll just bring our car, my car, or whatever. That was fine. So we stopped on Comera Cliff, like the walk on the way down. We have a nice little walk before we go down or whatever. So he goes in the driver's side door. I got in the passenger car door and the door just fell off. I was like, oh my gosh. And there was two guys in the car beside me. I was buckled with the laughing, absolutely creasing myself laughing. And he was just shouting at me, don't let it go. And I was like, I can't. But you know, when you get the giggles, I just couldn't. So he had to come around and lift the car door and just close it. Okay. And that was it. We, like, that door was out of action
forever.
The day.
Climb over.
So that was it. And then, yeah, and then, like, the air inside, so you know, like the cool air and the hot air, so it's like I was either freezing or I was roasting, like there was no in between, like that was, it was one or the other. But to be fair, like the engine, she never let me down. Like I dug her out of the snow, she got me to work, like she was just brilliant. She was a little trooper of a car.
So when did you have to say goodbye?
So my other half was like, look, you're going to get blown off the road one of these days. Like, that car, I'm telling you, is just not safe. Like, and I was like, yeah, this is perfect. It's grand. He was like, no, 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 no. But then I was like, do you know what? I'd love a little Mini. So then we went up and went shopping for the Mini or whatever. And I went up to sign the papers or whatever, all excited. But then going in, I was like, oh, I don't know. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I loved it. Like, I loved it. And like that would show I had memories and I had this and that in the car. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, I don't know about this now. And then signing the papers, the guy was like, yeah, if you just sign there. And I was like, can I actually have a minute? And she was like, yeah, of course you can. I was like, no, I think I need a minute. Like, she was like, no, you're okay. You take your time. Like, she was so nice. But I did. I signed it over. But then, like, the Mini didn't work out so great either, and I'm like, see, I knew I shouldn't have got rid of the car.
That's the Punto. We and love it.
Did the Punto have a name? Did she have a name?
No, I'm not one for naming my cars now, to be fair. Like, I don't, but yeah, no. So now I'm going back to a white car again, and touch wood, now better looking a white car again.
But the Punto, the sporty Punto, will stay in your heart forever.
And I keep telling anybody that I met that my favourite car was my sport and Fiat Punto.
Amazing. Don, have a great day. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thanks, man.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Ollie, look, I've waited a long time to see you, but I will give you a pass on this. I don't think you, like, if you want to take the night off in Dublin, like, that's okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I don't expect you to come out on stage because, like, you should have that time with. I'm genuinely, like, that's hard. Like, yeah.
That's timing. Okay, just before we go, Jade, I want to just point out as well, they called the baby, they named the baby immediately on leaving the hospital. So they obviously had it in their head and they knew what they wanted. Meanwhile, we've seen over the last 2 weeks in the tabloids, Peter Andre and his partner have really struggled. Mm. It took them 2 weeks before they came up with a name, and there was pressure and all the rest from the media.
Now, I do think between them they have a good few kids, so maybe it gets harder as you go on.
More, maybe. Yeah. Now, we've brought our official baby correspondent in studio, Jade from Beat News, who's also the host of our brand new podcast, Two Girls and a Baby. Second episode dropped yesterday, am I right?
It did. Yes,
I just have one complaint about it. Like, there is a bit of false advertising. The baby will not be appearing in the early episodes, okay? No, no baby
it's
yet.
Two girls and a baby on the way.
Baby on the way. Yes. The baby will feature later.
So what have we got? We've 4 or 5 weeks?
Four weeks today, yeah.
Wow.
We were just saying this yesterday, like how mad it is that it's like
so soon.
Yeah, it's gonna be mental. Here.
So the whole idea of names, where are you and your partner at with names? Are you absolutely sure in your head where you're going with it? Are you gonna wait and see, or what? How do you feel?
We're set on a name. We picked a boy's name and a girl's name before knowing the gender.
Okay.
And then we found out it was a boy, and the name hasn't changed since. Okay. So we're fairly
and
set.
You're fairly adamant now. He's not going to appear, and you go, actually, he's not a Johnny. He's a Billy.
No, I don't think so, because that's one thing that I feel like I've never understood. Because when a baby's born, like, they look kind of like raisins. He's not going to look like that in a week. And then even after a week, he's going to look different again. So it's like, I don't understand when people are like, oh, my baby doesn't look like this. I'm like, your baby doesn't really look like anything. Mm. So I think just go with, I'm going to go with the name that we like, regardless.
I think because you have had this in your head for so long, and I think we were the same, that we called the baby by that. Like, you know, okay. even though actually we didn't know the gender.
Okay.
Yeah. But like we had the name picked out and I had a feeling like that she was a little girl. So I was like
already
holding my bump
her.
Going, yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Okay. Let me read a couple of the thoughts coming in on this. A few messages. Larry was on. We had the name picked, but when people would ask, we would say to them, oh, we'll have to see what he looks like. Also, Paul was on. When my son was born in the 90s, I was a big fan of Beverly Hills 90210 and I wanted Brandon after the Jason Priestley character. It wasn't as popular, but I got my way. So for a few years, that name was picked out.
Can I read Amy's to you?
Go on.
Right, so Amy said, I had three names picked out for my baby. Grace for a girl and Freddie or Charlie for a boy. I told my midwife the names and she said, oh, don't name him Freddy if it's a boy. That's my dog's name, which put me right off. Anyway, he was born 3:45 on a Saturday morning. As soon as I saw him, the name Dylan popped into my head. I'd never even considered that name, but I knew it had to be the name as soon as I saw him. So Dylan is now 7.5 and years later, I don't regret it. It was definitely supposed to be his name. So that's a really good example of like seeing the baby and actually a name just coming into your head.
That's
Niall before. I have a friend who, she lives in Dublin, so she's not listening, she won't mind me telling the story anyway. It took them a month. Yes.
So what did they call the baby?
It was just baby. So like in our girls WhatsApp group, it was constantly like, how is baby? Yeah. How is baby? Okay, is baby sleeping? Do we have a name for baby? And I'd say the poor girl, her head was wrecked. It was their second child and they were taking their time. They couldn't decide what he was going to be called.
Well, on that point, we were talking about that. We had a message in from Lisa and Gory. I have 6 kids and it definitely gets harder to name them the more you have, as you've already used your favourite names.
Lisa, I need to sit down. 6 kids. Oh my God, fair play.
Now, I'm not saying they're the same, okay?
Right.
But I do have to ask, how long did it take you to name Lola? Did that take time?
I think I took longer to name Lola. No, sure. It took us a while because we didn't agree, because Lola was named after Lola from EastEnders, the character, and Tom wasn't mad about that.
Okay.
But then when he saw her, he agreed that she looked like a little Lola.
Okay, yeah, so it took longer to name your dog than your baby, you're saying.
Okay, yeah, move on. What about you with the cat?
It took about a week. I did want to know their personalities and who they were like and that kind of thing. So that's when Fred and Jessica came like a week in.
You nailed it. Mm. Well, Jade, we can't wait to hear what baby is called.
Yes.
And
sending you so much love, Sterling. Not long now, the countdown is on.
And check out the new podcast wherever you get your podcast, Two Girls and a Baby.
Do you know I was meant to be Julie?
Were
you?
Yeah. I don't see you as a Julie.
I know, yeah.
Okay, just on the baby names. Firstly, we had a message in. Amanda was on to us. I was meant to be an Emma or an Amy. Mam and Dad knew when they saw me that those names didn't suit, and so they chose Amanda instead. And now we started this story by speaking about Ollie Murs and his new baby, Madison. And I actually missed you say this. I didn't pick up on this, but thankfully
Niamh and Carlo did.
You said that his baby Madison was a boy, which took her and others aback, because Madison would generally, I think, be known as a girl's name. And it seems you were incorrect.
So at the moment, we are currently on the Beat Digital Media Literacy Tour, and that's all about media literacy and
trusting sources.
And making sure that where you go to find your information is a trusted source.
Yep.
And unfortunately today, it's been a while since we've whipped Ronan out, but it looks to me like birminghamlive.co.uk have let me down this morning.
Just to confirm, Ollie Murs has become a dad for the first time to a baby girl. That's what the trusted news sources are saying.
Anyone from Birmingham Live listening this morning, article incorrect. It was not a baby boy, it was a baby girl. I'm sorry to Niamh and Carlo and to anybody else that I might have upset with that news this morning. Trusted sources.
Beat Breakfast on Beat 102 103.
Wake up. 10 o'clock on Beat Throwbacks.
And you can win your tickets for Scooter! Hyper! Right, back to this granny things. Catherine, are we in luck? Catherine, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Sorry about that, guys, about earlier.
That's all right.
That's okay. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Tuesday's Beat Breakfast. Catherine. Talk to us.
Yes. Mint humbugs.
Can't
beat a good mint humbug.
Okay.
It's been a while.
And it has. And it's like, it's just sucking it all the way till you get to the chewy bit at the end. It's just such a great feeling.
Yeah. And it's that, you feel like you've achieved something if you don't bite before the end, if you know what I mean. Anyone that is into sucky sweets. Yeah. It's just, you feel like you're winning, you know. Don't go too soon. Let it go to the very end and then enjoy the goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's like a bit like a fruit pastel too. I know that's not a hard food, but sucking it right down to the end without biting it.
Yeah, you and me can be friends, Catherine. You and me can be friends. There's an understanding here. I swear to God, the two lads are standing in the studio looking at me as
I'm
if...
I just, with all your conversation, and I can see the joy that the Sucky Sweets brings you and so many people who are talking to us this morning. I don't think I have the patience for a Sucky Sweet. I want everything now, immediate. I want the instant gratification. I want it in my belly. Right? So I'm not going to be slick sucking for ages and wasting time. Life's too short, lads.
No. You break your teeth.
Some things just can't be rushed. You just have to sort of be patient.
You sound like you work with a marketing company for one of these.
Well, Catherine, I think this is why I like a Sucky Sweet on my drive, because obviously I drive from Wexford to Waterford every day and it does pass. You know, you could get a kilometre or two out of a merriment or whatever.
It also stops
her
singing Celine Dion out loud, so that's a positive too.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the three of you should do a Sucky Sweet challenge and see who... bites first.
Ooh. Oh, it won't be me, Catherine. I would not let you down, hon. I would not let you down, all right?
I'm counting on you now for the women out there.
Yeah. Oh, you and me,
hon. Manana Heron.
Let's get together and suck some sweets, Catherine. Let's do it, all right? Catherine, put a date in your diary.
Have a wonderful day. It's been fun chatting.
Cheers. Happy Tuesday, darling.
You
bye.
Too. Thanks
bye.
A million, guys. Bye. When I
wake up in the morning, I gotta get up and get it. Beat Breakfast with Niall and Show. I gotta say, I'm very excited for this little segment. Please, one and all, please come together this morning.
Come
it's
forward.
Tuesday, it's Beat Breakfast. Please make this a VPS. Please. I love hotels. I love a hotel stay. I love talking about hotels. When I was younger, I watched a movie about a girl that lived in a hotel. I've yet to be able to find it. I don't know what it was called, but her dad owned the hotel and she lived there. She had non-stop room service. Mm. She could go to the pool whenever she wanted. I thought that was the dream world.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, no?
No. This was a movie. It was a one-off movie.
I love hotels too. And my first job, of course, was in a hotel. And what I love about hotels is all forms of human life are there. You could just sit in the lobby and watch people all day. It's like an airport.
Yeah, it's like there's an ITV show called The Savoy. And it's just about the lives of the people that work there and then the people that visit. And I think hotels are fascinating. If you sat in a hotel lobby, you'd see everything.
Yeah.
Everything that you could possibly imagine going on. You make up the stories some of the time, but that's
too.
Yeah. The fun, the excitement. Mm. But there is nothing like, as you say, I know I get very excited. I really love hotels. there's nothing like you check into your hotel. Mm. Granted, sometimes that card doesn't work, but I've learned, don't put it near your phone.
Three times I had to go to the room once with a heavy bag because the card wouldn't work.
Did you have it beside your phone?
I don't think I did. But go on anyway.
Okay. Anyway, you tap that card, you enter, you push down the gold handle, you enter, you walk into that room, you smell the newness, breathe it in, and then you look around. What do you see first? Well,
what
you walk over
first?
And you check the view out the window.
Yeah,
what
good,
kind
good
of a
call.
Room have you got? Have you got a river view? Have you got a wood view?
Yeah.
Have you got
a yard?
A yard or a back alley?
Yeah.
Can you see a boiler? Whatever it is.
Or, you know, the flat roof of like the function room underneath.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
disappointing.
The bins.
Yeah. Or a stairs. What is your view? That's my
number
first
one.
Part.
Numero uno.
Uno. Then I have a little stroll around the bedroom. I lie on the bed just to make sure. Is it satisfactory for me to have a good night's sleep?
Is there a good bounce?
Check the pillow.
Yeah. Do you? You get onto the bed and test it out.
I throw myself down on that thing and I just do a little manoeuvre around to make sure, show's going to sleep well tonight.
Yeah.
Then I get up off the bed and I go into the bathroom and I check, what toiletries can I bring home with me?
Now, I'm surprised because that would be my number two on my list. Bathroom after the window, okay? Because you got to check, am I dealing with a shower or a bath? Is it a newly renovated kind of shower?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
What products are there? Do the towels, are they spotless? Are they fluffy? These are important questions in a hotel room.
And I had one bad experience, and I won't say where it was, but there was a crusty towel.
Oh,
no, that's not what we're here for. All right. Then after that, we come out of the bathroom. We've checked our toiletries. Have we got a free shower cap to bring home with us most of the time? Yes. Have
Maybe
we got
a sewing kit,
a grooming set? I love a grooming set with a little nail emery board and like, oh, lovely. And then we come out and we check the tea and coffee section. And is there a shortbread biscuit?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. The most important part.
What are the biscuits?
Is it a Biscoff? Yep. Is it a shortcake?
Yeah. Don't worry about the kettle because you know how I feel about a hotel kettle and we won't go down that road again, but I don't use the kettles, suffice to say. And then I will check if the hairdryer is any use. And then finally... And
you were about 2 hours since we checked in at reception and she's still going.
I'm still doing all my little bits.
Your checks.
And then finally, and this is the gold moment. This is the moment where you've stepped into the hotel and you've done your kind of recce of the room, as they say, before you go about your business, whatever that might be. And the real kind of chef's kiss, the icing on the cake of a hotel room is, does it have a manual?
Oh,
does
I
it
love
have
a manual?
A little guide with a like foolscap pages inside it. You fold over, it might have the bar menu, local attractions. Yeah. What is there to see and do?
Yeah.
What time is
breakfast?
What time is the bar open? Mm. I love a manual. Yeah. There you go.
That's
I'm
done.
Done.
You're done. She can finally relax. So, okay, has she missed anything? I don't think she has. I think she's covered everything there. But what's the first thing that you like to do when you check into a hotel? We'll take a quick thought from Eddie on this.
First thing I do is open the windows as large as you could and stick the heat in a hotel room. No matter what hotel you go to, the heat will be unreal.
I do agree on that. I'm never able to work their aircon/heating. Yeah. Never works for me. And the worst scenario is, and I've had this quite a bit, is where the window doesn't open. It's impossible. Yeah, there is open of the window. So you just have to lie there and sweat it out.
Sorry, I did miss a point on my bullets. Check if there is a dressing gown and slippers.
Yeah,
you know you've made it.
Manita, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
We're good, hon. We're good. Do you love a hotel stay as much as me?
Yeah, well, I don't really get to go that often with 4 kids, so when I go, I really enjoy it.
Yes, you got to make the most of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So what is the first thing you do?
Well, I drop the bags right at the door for my husband to fall over on the way in, and then I dive starfish into the bed. And just lie there. And then check and see if they have extra pillows.
More pillows.
And then tell my husband then that the single bed is his bed and I'm in the double bed.
So you can starfish all night long.
Yeah, that's it. Just be left alone.
Yeah. And the pillows are important as well. You like those big
fluffy. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And they have to have extra pillows.
And if not, you ring down and you get some sorted.
Oh, God, yeah, 100%.
Actually, you made me forget because I always, anywhere I go, I always have a shirt and I need to iron it. So the first thing I have to do is check, is there an iron in the room? Oh, I have to ring down now and get one sent up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I always do that, you know, when you're in a hurry and you're getting ready to go out and you're like, oh, no, there's no iron. And then you're ringing, racing, oh, can you get an iron up? And then they're taking the time and you're ringing again. Is that iron on its way up?
Although I was somewhere and I'm trying to remember where, I think it was Vienna, and I put that call in, right? And they went, no, sir, there is an ironing room your floor.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little room you go to and you just iron.
We had that in Portugal last year and we had to go down into a basement. Like, I thought, where are they sending us? Yeah.
Listen, we love it, Anita.
Thank you, Rochelle. Thanks, darling.
Have a good day. Marcella, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. You're in Wexford this morning, hon, yeah?
I'm in Wexford. I'm in sunny South East. It's beautiful. Sunny, but a bit windy, but it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Sunny and bright.
Not as cold as yesterday. Now, talk to us. You're going for the bathroom first. You're doing a good check.
I do. I'll be honest with you, like, I always go away, like, I'm kind of looking forward, you know, just have a nice break. But unfortunately, the last couple of experiences, like, I just have to check the bathroom, I have to check the toilet and the sink. And the last time, actually, I stayed in Cork. And just check the toilet, and there was a few pubic hairs, and the toilet was wasn't clean enough. So the first thing, of course, we rang the reception, and then the manager came, over, and he double checked. He apologized, and he said, "Oh, you know, sorry." He offered us a different room, which we got a different room. It's just, I think it's just kind of gonna disappoint you from the start. You know, you're kind of looking forward, and then you come in and you check, you know, the room and everything, and then there is it, the filthy toilet there. But look, at those things happens. But then, you know, I got a new room, but it's just kind of this kind of disappointment feeling wasn't great. But so that's kind of stays with you. And then when you're coming into the room, the first thing, oh, let's go to the bathroom, let's go check the toilet. Yeah. And if the toilets click off and the sink, okay, that's fine. You can kind of work around everything else. But
good standard. You just reminded me, Marcella, the first time I went to a hotel with Tom. we pulled back the duvet and there was a giant toenail in the bed. And I mean, nothing killed the moment more than that toenail, I can tell you. It was disgusting. So I hear you on the, I think yours is worse though in the, yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're both bad. Yeah. They're both bad.
They're
but
both awful.
Yeah, I can understand why you check the toilet thoroughly.
Absolutely.
Listen, thanks for sharing with
have
us.
A good day. Bye.
Beat Breakfast.
Okay, just trying to work our way through so many messages on this. You don't know what to do. So we talk to Hugh first, right? Yeah. Hugh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks. And
good.
You?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Now, show is a little taken aback by your message because New York has always been a dream of hers. So what were you a little bit let down by?
Times Square was so, so disappointing. Oh. We didn't even believe we were in. We were there. We were staying in a hotel just around the corner from it, about a minute's walk.
Yeah.
We walked into it accidentally and we thought, where are we? So we said, you're in Times Square. And we thought, is this it? Just so, so small and disappointing and congested. The traffic and people are there. And it was just a crazy place. Just wasn't worth it at all.
But Hugh, I've seen the movies and I've seen them all and they're standing there and it's like bright lights and like people everywhere. Like what didn't hit home for you? Like,
I mean, I lived in London for a long time and down in Trafalgar Square all the time, and I've been, you know, Connell Street in Dublin, and it's just not a patch on them.
Really?
Yeah, really, yes.
You prefer the Spire to Times Square?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
It's just much more attractive. The only thing really there is, you know, you've got all them bright lights like you have in Piccadilly Circus in London.
Yeah. Okay.
And you have loads of shops in there, and that's all. That's all it is. There's a little stand there. If it's about 200 people in there, people sit there and just watch the ball, you know, that bit that you see on New Year's Eve.
Well, I have to say,
that's it. It's really
a show. Is very, very deflated. Show is very deflated this morning.
Absolutely floored. Yeah. I'm floored. Yeah.
It's his experience. Show. It's his experience. Hugh, you're a legend. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Bye.
Let me read a couple more that are coming in. Firstly, Anne in Enniscorthy is not a fan of the Guinness Storehouse, which of course is Ireland's most popular attraction. She says it's on a par with the Heineken Place in Amsterdam, I'd imagine. And we have no name on this, but somebody who has been to the Leprechaun Museum and says they are boring. But the pics with the furniture are fun. And also, I love this text, the burn. It's just rocks, and actually dusty rocks, so you're destroyed. I'm an outdoors person and a hiker, and it's not scenic. It's stupid. You could get out of the car, look, and have seen it. No entry fee, but save your petrol. Really not a fan.
I liked the burn. I thought it was very picturesque. Yeah, yeah. Mateus is on WhatsApp.
Hi, Mateus. How's things?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good.
Oh, we're good, hon. We're good. Okay, you're down a hole or you're in a cave or you're somewhere. Talk to us about...
I'm driving.
You're okay. Driving. Okay, talk to us about London.
London's all right. It's not much to do, honestly. Kind of just your regular big city full of finance bros in the centre and then just a lot of Chinese tourists. But I'd say the biggest letdown was the London Eye.
Okay.
Queue's about 10 hours long and it's not really much to do there. It's just a Ferris wheel and it costs a fortune as well. There's so much better things, like especially all the museums in London, so much better.
It's funny you say that because Killian's not with us this morning. He's out on the media literacy tour, but when we were talking about this yesterday, he agreed with you. He said that the London Eye, it's so slow as it moves and you're just kind of stuck there, and he found it very boring.
Yeah, no, it's just not really worth it. The time and the money, much better things to see in London than that.
Well, I would suggest you go on the Waterford Eye because it's brilliant at Christmas. I love it. Every year I'm on that thing, so go for it. Anyway, Mateus, thanks for chatting to us this morning.
There's a row broken out over in New York now.
Yeah, okay.
With varying opinions on this because firstly, Louisa was on, says New York was a disappointment. Go to Boston and show you'll have a great time. But Sandra says he is delusional. He's delusional on Times Square. And a little bit of agreement with me, I should say, on the whole Mona Lisa thing. James was on to us from Kilkenny.
Do you know what? You're right about the Mona Lisa. Now, the Louvre is amazing and there's some fantastic stuff to see in there, but the Mona Lisa, lads, you'd walk by it in a car boot sale and you'd leave it there for a fiver.
Oh God, that's harsh.
A fiver?
A fiver. And similar thoughts this morning from Betty, who was on to us. Betty.
100% I agree with you, Niall. The Mona Lisa was the most boring sightseeing I ever went to see. I'm very disappointed with it altogether.
There you go now. A lot of disappointment. Right, any final thoughts? 0851029103 thing. Rouse breaking out. Sharon was on to us.
Hi, Beat. I absolutely agree regarding Times Square. I was so disappointed with it. But however, it redeemed itself when the naked cowboy came along on his horse. Hee-haw!
Little things,
you see,
it?
That's what I'm talking about.
Also, another message on New York and Times Square from Rach.
Hey guys, we were in New York in January. Look, Times Square is bright and it's busy, and if that's what you like, yay. You know, you wouldn't spend a long time on it. We stayed just off it, and like, God, we hated walking back in the evening because it was just so busy. But the Rockefeller Christmas tree, oh my God, absolutely everything it looks like on the TV and more. I cried when we seen it. That was the whole thing. The trip was planned around getting to see the Rockefeller Christmas tree, and it did not disappoint me.
You're like Kevin from Home Alone.
Home Alone, thank crying. You so much for restoring my faith. I know that I will cry when I get there.
And we obviously, I started this Mona Lisa hating thing going on today. And we've had a few people agree, but Sarah was on to us from Rosslare.
Guys, I'm so sad about everyone dissing the Mona Lisa. I'm going to Paris for the first time ever in precisely 50 days.
Woo-hoo!
And that was one of the things on my bucket list. And now I'm like, oh no, I really want to see it. And everyone's kind of been like, meh. Oh, raging.
No,
Sarah,
no, we're not.
Don't stress.
This is your experience. Yeah. Do not let anybody's opinion take away from it.
Absolutely.
Paris is so beautiful. You're going to have such a wonderful time. That's just a picture, but there's other stuff there.
I've been to Paris quite a few times, and there are so many wonderful things in Paris.
Yeah.
The Eiffel Tower is absolutely
stunning. Climate.
I was just chatting to Arifa in News is going on next week or the week after. I was saying go to the unofficial Princess Di Memorial tribute. You've got the Champs-Élysées. Oh, the baguettes.
Oh, the baguettes. Chef's kiss.
And you're at Disney, of course, as well. If that's your thing. So you will have a ball, Sarah. And we want an update when you get back. And look, if you have to go see the Mona Lisa, grand.
Beat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now.